blessed. Good morning to all of you. I'm going to be reading from 1 Peter chapter 3 to begin our lesson. 1 Peter chapter 3, if you want to follow along with me. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 1. In the same way, you wives, be submissive to your own husbands, so that even if any of them are disobedient to the word, they may be won without a word by the behavior of their wives, as they observe your chaste and respectful behavior. Your adornment must not be merely external, braiding the hair, wearing gold jewelry, or putting on dresses, but let it be the hidden person of the heart, with the imperishable quality of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is precious in the sight of God. For in this way, in former times, the holy women also, who hoped in God, used to adorn themselves, being submissive to their own husbands, just as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord. And you have become her children if you do what is right, without being frightened by any fear. You husbands, in the same way, live with your wives in an understanding way, as with someone weaker, since she is a woman, and show her honor as a fellow heir of the grace of life, so that your prayers will not be hindered. To sum up, all of you be harmonious, sympathetic, brotherly, kind-hearted, humble in spirit, not returning evil for evil or insult for insult, but giving a blessing instead. For you were called for the very purpose that you might inherit a blessing. This morning, we're going to get back into our series about how to improve our marriages through better communication, trying to bring practical lessons from the wonderful spiritual message like we just read in 1 Peter chapter 3. Better communication by speaking the language of love and respect. We are so excited and happy for Noah and Koki. And when Noah told me this news, I told him, I'm going to speak on marriage, but I had already planned it. I don't want you to think I'm targeting you two as new in your vows to one another. But this is going to be a good lesson for you, as it will be a good lesson for all of us. Improving our language, our communication, by speaking the proper language. And so in this series, we've been talking a lot about these cycles that we can so easily get caught up in. We've been talking about this crazy cycle that we want to stay away from. Maybe you're thinking about one of the crazy cycles you got in this very week. You see, we enter in the crazy cycle when, for example, a husband thinks that his wife is insulting him or has said something that doesn't sit right with him. And so he reacts to that. And he speaks to her without love. And she takes that in, and she reacts, and so she speaks to him without respect, and it just kind of goes on in a cycle over and over. But we started talking about this other cycle, the cycle that we want to be part of in our marriage. We want to stay in what's called the energizing cycle, where he is motivated to speak to her in her language, in pink, as we have described it, in love. Not that that's normal for him, not that that comes natural, but to speak that language that she so desires, to speak in that language of love. And as he is able to do that, then that motivates her to speak in his language of blue, which is the language of respect. In fact, that's exactly what Peter says here in chapter 3, verse 1, that a husband who is not obedient to God could be won without any word, but by the behavior of wives, which in verse 2 he displays or describes as being chaste and respectful, even in her behavior, her conduct. And so it's your choice. If you want a marriage that you continue to enter into the crazy cycle, well, you can choose that, but that's not what God would have for us. God wants us to choose to be in that energizing cycle. And so you might remember one of the illustrations we had of the crazy cycle is this old piece of playground equipment we don't see anymore. Why? Because it's unsafe. We talked about how you get on there and you just start spinning around and around and around, and it's very dangerous because you can't get off. And if you're on it and it's spinning, you can't stop it. And that's the key. The crazy cycle, you can't do anything about it until it stops. And sometimes marriages get into that crazy cycle and just keep spinning and spinning until their marriage becomes sick. Perhaps as a child you remember those experiences. Well, I wanted to give you another illustration this morning of the crazy cycle, and that is of the demolition derby. Anybody gone to one of those? They're still around from here, from place to place. That you can find them. But that's kind of what the crazy cycle is, right? Where the whole objective is to hit the other cars so that you damage them so bad they're inoperable. And that's what can happen in marriages where you just want to hit your spouse and injure them so they just can't. Not only are they hurt, but they're inoperable. And so you zing them with a good one. And then they back up and they zing you with an insult. And so you back up and it's just like this demolition derby. But that's not what we just read. It's God's will and desire for a husband and wife. It might be our choice, but it's not the choice that we want to make to glorify God and to make marriage a taste of heaven on earth. And so we've been talking about how to recognize, the alarms go off. We're entering into the crazy cycle. And you know, you've been married long enough, you can see it happening. And so we want to take those steps to recognize and stay off the crazy cycle. And so we've been talking about how it's important to understand that men and women, as the Bible describes very clearly from the very beginning, are different. He did not create men and women to compete with one another. He did not create women to compete with men and show that they could do the same things as men, as good as men, if not better. He made them different to complement, to be interdependent. And that goes along with the way we communicate. Men communicate differently than women. Women, when they communicate, need something out of that communication that men don't. But men need something out of that communication that women don't. And what often happens is husbands and wives can be communicating and trying to communicate in a loving way, trying to communicate respect, but doing it from their language, not their spouse's language. And so we get in this crazy cycle, even if we don't mean to, and we're just missing one another. Dr. Emerson says, women speak in pink, men speak in blue. And so men have to learn to deliberately, if they want to communicate to their wives, especially as they see the crazy cycle coming, to speak in pink. It's not natural, but it's possible. And women, likewise, though they want to communicate in pink, have to be able to speak in blue sometimes to their husbands. Again, as the crazy cycle enters in. And so we need to understand men and women speak different languages, different ways. We need to learn to recognize the crazy cycle and be ready to halt it. And we're going to talk about some more of how we can do that this morning.
And so we need to recognize that you need to reverse the crazy cycle.
And the way you reverse it is by speaking the language of love and respect.
I just want to say that, again, sometimes marriages get into bad cycles, bad habits. We just need to recognize this if we get into this bad habits. I want you to know you'll never get out of the crazy cycle if you think marriage is really about winning battles, being right. Now that just sounds so easy to say, but there are marriages that's their approach. They get in this crazy cycle because they get in these arguments, and it's all about being right, proving your spouse is wrong and that you're right. And when you're able to do that, at least in your own mind, you just think, wow, that's just wonderful. But marriages are destroyed
because that's an approach. Number two, you'll never get out of the crazy cycle if you care more about keeping your pride intact instead of keeping your marriage intact. Anyone that has a successful marriage knows that there are times where you as a spouse have done wrong. You said the wrong thing, you did the wrong thing, and you just have to humble yourself. But there are some that destroy their marriages because it's more about them saving face, keeping pride intact, rather than truly loving and humbling themselves. Number three, you'll never get out of the crazy cycle if you keep a tally of all the times your spouse was wrong or did something wrong. I know sometimes we Christians may say something like, oh yeah, I forgive you, and you make up. But there are some that like, okay, I forgave you, but I'm keeping it on file. And the next time we're in the crazy cycle, I'm going to bring up all this list of wrongs that you do. These are some very bad habits and some very sinful approaches to marriage. And sometimes marriages, this is what it's all about. They live often in the crazy cycle. And so, like I said, it's your choice, but as Christians, we know there really is only one choice. We want to stay out of the crazy cycle, and we want in our marriage to be in and remain in this energizing cycle where he's speaking love to her, which motivates her to speak respectfully to him, which then motivates him to again speak in pink, which motivates her to speak in blue. And these are the times where marriage is truly energized and it's just wonderful, and you are enjoying your best friend, your spouse. And that can be more often than the crazy cycle. But it does take commitment. It does take work. And that's why we're talking about these lessons. Before we talk about our marriage moment, let's just go back to 1 Peter chapter 3. Because exactly what we're talking about is all outlined here. We've already talked about the respectful behavior of the wives that he has pointed out. But look, husbands, verse 7. In the same way, live with your wives in an understanding way. Grant her honor, show her honor as a fellow heir, the grace of life. Verse 8, to sum up, all of you be harmonious, sympathetic, brotherly, kind-hearted, and look, humble in spirit. Not returning evil for evil or insult for insult, but giving a blessing instead. When we don't do that, we're going to be on the crazy cycle. But what Peter, by inspiration, is writing to us in a very practical way, as we're trying to bring that out, is he's telling us to energize one another. Love and respect one another.
In verse 6, he says, Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord. That is humility. That is respect. And that is love. Let's talk about our marriage moment. We've been looking in this series of different marriages. A lot of them have not been good examples, but as we talk about the staying in the energy cycle, staying away from the crazy cycle, this is a wonderful couple. It really is the Christian couple of the New Testament, Aquila and Priscilla. You don't think they had times where they were in the crazy cycle? Absolutely they did. Do you think they always had just the most wonderful? No, they had challenges. They had to work at it. But the New Testament heralds them as what Christian marriages can be and should be. I mean, when you look at the New Testament, there isn't a whole lot of married couples that are highlighted. We don't learn about, you know, the husband and wife and this Christian couple, but Aquila and Priscilla, they're the exception to that. And one of the interesting things about Aquila and Priscilla is that in every passage that they're mentioned in the New Testament, they're always mentioned together. You'll never see Aquila mentioned without Priscilla and vice versa. The other thing that you will notice is that every time they are mentioned in the New Testament, they are always mentioned in serving God. They're doing something for God or God's people. Yes, they could serve God as individuals, and they had an individual relationship with God and Jesus Christ. But what the Bible is telling us is that through that marriage, through that one flesh, they used their marriage to serve God. It was not just Aquila serving God. It was not just Priscilla. It was about Aquila and Priscilla using their marriage and not only let God in, but giving the gospel to others. What a great couple that learned to stay out of the crazy cycle and learned to energize their marriage, not just between them, but by bringing God and service to God in that marriage. Let's look at Romans chapter 16 and see what Paul says about them. They're often mentioned by Paul in what we call the greeting sections, where Paul sends his greetings usually towards the end of the letter. And that is the case in Romans 16. Look at Romans 16. And in verse 3, as Paul is writing to the Romans, and so Priscilla and Aquila are now returned home to Rome, he says, "Greet Prisca," that's Priscilla, "and Aquila, my fellow workers in Christ Jesus." And look what he says, "who for my life risked their own necks, to whom not only do I give thanks, but also the churches of the Gentiles. Also greet the church that is in their house." And so we learn of a situation, we're not told what it was, but Aquila and Priscilla risked their own lives to save Paul's. We also learn that having returned home to Rome, they were hosting the church in their house. Their house was the meeting place, what we call the church building, for that particular church in Rome. Let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 16. As Paul writes to the Corinthians from Ephesus, writing the very first place that he met Aquila and Priscilla, verse 19, he says, "The churches of Asia greet you. Aquila and Prisca greet you heartily in the Lord with the church that is in their house." You might remember when Paul left Corinth, Aquila and Priscilla went with him over to Ephesus. He stayed there a short time and then had to leave. He left Aquila and Priscilla behind. They were the ones that really, in my estimation, got the church in Ephesus, one of the strongest churches of the New Testament, got that started and got it growing. And as they're in Ephesus, as Paul writes to the Corinthians, he says, they greet you. And guess what? In Ephesus, the church is meeting in their home. They use their home, they use their marriage to serve God. And as a result, they were energized.
It's a great marriage moment and one that we could truly learn from.
So let's talk about steps to stay out of the crazy cycle and steps that will therefore put us in this energizing cycle. We talked last time about the danger of using what we call escalator words. You always do that. You never pick up your underwear. Right? We know that's not true. We know our loving spouse doesn't always do the wrong thing. And we know our loving spouse sometimes does the right thing, but we like to use those words because, you know, it kind of has a zing to it. And we're upset and we're angry and we're in the crazy cycle. And we need to be careful of using those escalator words that not only put us in the crazy cycle, but like that friend with that whirly word player just started spinning faster and faster and just thought it was fun. As you're sitting there on the crazy cycle getting sicker and sicker. So I want to talk to you about this. In marriage, we need to learn to give our spouse the benefit of the doubt. To give them some grace. In other words, we fell in love with this person, didn't we? We love them. We vowed to spend the rest of our lives from that. But there are some couples that they just expect the worst. When their spouse talks, they think it's some insult. They think it's something negative. What are you getting at? What are you trying to say to me? But that's not a Christian marriage, a loving marriage. You married this person because of all their great qualities. And so you need to give your spouse the benefit of the doubt that when they say something, even if it doesn't sound quite right to you, that they really have the best intentions. Turn with me, if you would, to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And look, if you would, at 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 7, as Paul is giving this description of love, which so often is read in what? In weddings. And he says of love, love bears all things. Love believes all things. Love hopes all things. And sometimes we don't have that kind of love in our marriage. We believe all things. We hope all things. We expect the best of people. And unfortunately, we live in a world of sin and debauchery and selfishness. And some of that has come upon us where we expect the worst in people. So we need to give our spouse the benefit of the doubt. Number two, we need to learn to stop, decode, and confirm. You're saying, what is that? Well, I want to tell you what that is, that sometimes your spouse says something that causes you to think, why did they say that? What are they saying? It may cause you to think, man, they're insulting me. They're saying something that doesn't sit right with me. And sometimes what happens is we react. And sometimes when we think and we react, it's not what they meant at all. We misconstrued it. We misinterpreted. And so what we want to do is when our spouse says something to that and it doesn't sound right, it doesn't make sense to us, don't just react, but stop. Think the best of your spouse. And as you know them better than anyone, decode what they're saying. Yeah, sometimes they do say this. Maybe not the best way. But they don't mean any harm by it. And then at most, confirm. Did you mean this? What were you meaning by this? And by doing that, you can stay out of that crazy cycle. And a lot of times by doing that, you're going to put yourself right in or stay right in the energizing cycle. Let me give you an example of this. Husband and wife are in a car.
They got rid of the kids. They're in the car. It's nice and quiet. The wife says to her husband, Tell me what you're thinking. The husband says, okay. You know, I've actually been thinking about how critical you are. Now, how many of you, by a raise of hands, your first reaction to that was, he's insulting her. Really? Come on. You are, how critical you are. Most, you know, would think, what are you talking about? Critical. And that's the way she's like, you think I'm critical? That's the way she thought about it. And she was about to react, but she has been taught about the crazy cycle and about the energizing cycle. And so she stops. And she says, what do you mean by that? And he says, well, I was just thinking about all that you do for us, for the family, and how we couldn't live without you, how critical you are to the family. You see how he put it one way, she heard it one way, but it wasn't the same way. And if she would have reacted, well, they could have easily got on the crazy cycle. But instead, she stopped. She gave her husband the benefit of the doubt. She decoded. He doesn't always say things the right way. She confirmed, what are you talking about? What do you mean by that? And then he gave her the answer. He gave a second chance to explain it better. And when he did, she didn't go to the crazy cycle. She was more energized to speak in blue, to speak in respect. Let's talk about another example. There was a husband one time that was at work. He saw a bunch of guys at work, a male friend, and they were eating hamburgers. And he said, well, that's look good. And so he went up to his male friend, and he says, where did you get those hamburgers? And his male friend said, well, we just got them down at such and such a place. Okay. You see, he took that question to be literal. Where did you get these? Now, a few days later, the husband just so happens to be at home, and his wife has made hamburgers. And they sit down and they eat, and so he decides, I wonder how my wife would react to that same question. And so he says to his wife, where did you get these hamburgers? Do you know how she took that? Very differently. She heard that very differently. She reacted. She thought and reacted. She responded, why? What's wrong with them? Now, there are certain ways we can say something. And I don't know how he said it. You can say, where did you get these hamburgers? Which is a lot different than, where did you get these hamburgers? But he had been trained. And he saw that what he said was taken differently. And that's what he was after. And so he stopped. And he decoded. And then he explained to his wife, no, they're wonderful. In fact, they're so wonderful. I just wanted to know where you got them. And explain, maybe while I'm out, I can go get some at some time. And when she hears that explanation, she jumps off the crazy cycle and goes on to the energizing cycle. The wife says to the husband, we should talk. When you hear that, especially husbands, we need to talk. What's the first you think of? What's your gut reaction? Well, a lot of us, when we hear that, we need to talk, we should talk, that's not positive, is it? It's negative. We get worried. Uh-oh, we're in trouble. What do we do wrong now? But if you stop and decode, well, sometimes my wife just wants to talk. Maybe that's all it is. Then I confirm. What do we want to talk about? Did I do something wrong? No, nothing like that. It's just the kids are out of the house. I thought it'd be a good time for us to talk about things. We haven't done it for a long time. But you need to be careful of just thinking and reacting. The husband says, no, we need to make other plans.
And the wife has thought about these plans. She's trying to figure out something that they could do together as a family. And the husband says, no, we need to make other plans. And she takes that as an insult. And so she gets upset.
But he stops, he decodes, and he says, no. It's just because we have something else going on that day. Or we just don't have enough money to do that, but maybe we can save up and do it another time. Maybe there's something we can do now that's less expensive.
You see, sometimes
we communicate and we don't mean anything by it.
But because we speak in blue and she speaks in pink, or you speak in pink and he speaks in blue, we don't always hear it. The communication is not always there. And so we need to learn that not everything our spouse wants or says is negative.
But marriages where love is taken out of love bank so often can get into that habit of thinking it's always negative. And so we need to stop. We need to decode. We need to confirm. Because our wife will not always speak to us with respect. And what she says may sound one way, but it may not be what she means at all. And sometimes our husband, we don't always speak in pink. And sometimes you need to stop and kind of decode and understand your husband and confirm. And that way, we can stay off the crazy cycle and even start spinning the energizing cycle faster. You see, what we've been talking about tonight is really explained to us in James chapter 1, verse 19 and 20, where James says, this you know, my beloved brethren, but let everyone be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. For the anger of man does not achieve the righteousness of God. And that's what we want in our marriage. We want the righteousness of God in our marriage. We want to be energized by our spouse, and we do that by energizing them. But we also, like Aquila and Priscilla, want to be energized in our marriage by God, letting His righteousness be a big part of our one flesh covenant relationship. Take a songbook, if you would, turn to Song of Invitation. Thank you so much for listening. I hope these words are helpful. I know I've broken every one of these last week, and so this has been a good sermon for me as I continue to work on being a better husband and a better father, better Christian. But as we talk about marriage as a covenant, you have an opportunity this morning to begin a new covenant, a covenant with God, and that's what baptism is. This following God's plan of salvation is saying to God, I want to be in covenant relationship with you. I accept your covenant for life, just like marriage. And ultimately, we conclude that following God's plan of salvation by immersing you in the water for the remission of your sins. And we have the ability to do that this morning. We have garments for you to change into. We have private rooms. We can make you a Christian today if you're willing to confess that faith and give your life to your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. If we can help you do that this morning or come to Jesus Christ and help you in any way, I want you to let that be known as Together We Stand and as we sing.